The tavern was crowded with members of the supernatural community of Chicago. They weren't wizards. Most of them had only a pocketful of ability. One dark-bearded man had enough skill at kinetomancy to alter the spin on any dice he happened to throw. An elderly woman at another table had an unusually strong rapport with animals and was active in municipal animal shelter charities. A pair of dark-haired sisters who shared an uncanny mental bond played chess at one of the tables, which seemed kind of masturbatory somehow. In one of the corners, five or six wizened old practitioners, not strong enough to have joined the council, but competent enough in their own right, huddled together over mugs of ale, speaking in low tones. Mac himself glanced over his shoulder. He was a tall, spare man in a spotless white shirt and apron. Bald and good at it, Mac could have been any age between 35 and 50. He pursed his lips upon seeing me, turned back to his wood-burning stove, and quickly finished up a pair of steaks he'd been cooking. I started limping over to the bar, and as I went, the room grew quiet. By the time I was there, the uneven thump of my staff on the floor and the sizzling of the steaks were the only sounds. "Mac," I said. Someone vacated a stool, and I nodded my thanks and sat down with a wince. "Harry," Mac drawled. He slipped his frying pan off the stove, slapped both steaks onto plates, and with a couple of gestures and brief movements, made fried potatoes and fresh vegetables appear on the plates, too. It wasn't magic. Mac was just a damn good cook. I glanced around the room and spoke in a voice loud enough for everyone to hear. "I need some space, Mac. Some people are meeting me here shortly. I'll need several tables." A round of nervous whispers and quiet comments went through the crowd. The old practitioners in the corner rose from their table without further ado. Several of them nodded at me, and one grizzled old man growled, "Good luck." The less experienced members of the supernatural crowd looked from me back to the departing seniors, uncertainty on every face. "Folks," I said in general, "I can't tell you what to do, but I would like to request that you all think about getting home before dark. Come nightfall, you want to be behind a threshold." "What's happening?" blurted one of the youngest men in the room. He still had pimples. Mac eyed him and snorted. "Come on, I'm a wizard. We have union rules against telling anybody anything," I said. There was a round of muted chuckles. "Seriously, I can't say any more for now," I said, and I couldn't. Odds were better than good that one or more spies lurked among the patrons of the tavern, and the less information they had about White Council plans and activities, the better. "Take this seriously, guys. You don't want to be outside come nightfall." Mac turned around to the bar and swept his eyes over it, his expression polite and pointed. He grunted and flicked his chin at the door, and the noise from the room rose again as people began speaking quietly to one another, getting up and leaving money on the tables as they left. 2 minutes later, Mac and I were the only people left in the tavern. Mac walked around the edge of the bar and sat down next to me. He put one steak-laden dinner plate on the bar in front of me, kept the other for himself, and added a couple of bottles of his home-brewed dark ale. Mac flipped the tops off with a thumbnail. "Bless your soul, Mac," I said and picked up one bottle. I held it up. Mac clinked his bottle of ale against mine, and then we both took a long drink and fell to on the steaks. We ate in silence. After a while, Mac asked, "Bad?" "Pretty bad," I said. I debated how much I could tell him. Mac was a good guy and a long-term acquaintance and friend, but he wasn't counsel. Screw it. The man gave me steak and a beer. He deserved to know something more than that there was a threat he probably couldn't do anything about. Necromancers. Mac's fork froze on the way to his mouth. He shook his head, put his last bite of steak into his mouth, and chewed slowly. Mac never used a sentence when one word would do. "Wardens?" "Yeah, a lot of them." He pursed his lips with a frown. "Kemmler," he said. I arched an eyebrow, but I wasn't really surprised that he knew the infamous necromancer's name. Mac always seemed to have a pretty darn good idea about what was going on. Not Kemmler, his leftovers, but that's bad enough. Ugh. Mac finished up his plate in rapid order, then rose and started collecting money and clearing the tables in the corner farthest from the door. At some point, he collected my barren plate and empty bottle and put a fresh ale down in front of me. I sipped at it, watching him. He didn't make a production of it, but he checked the short-barreled shotgun he kept on a clip behind the bar and put a pair of 1911s in unobtrusive spots behind the bar so that no matter where he stood, one of the weapons would be within easy reach. He handled them like he knew exactly what he was doing. I sipped at the ale and mused. I knew little of Mac's background. He'd opened the tavern a few years before I'd moved to Chicago. No one I talked to knew where he'd been before that or what he had done. I wasn't surprised that he knew something about weapons. He'd always moved like someone who could handle himself. But since he wasn't exactly a chatterbox, most of what I knew came from observation. I hadn't the faintest idea of why or where he'd learned the business of violence. I could respect that. I had run through a few bad patches that were just as well left behind and forgotten. Mac looked up abruptly and started polishing the bar near the shotgun's clip. A second later, the door opened, and a warden of the White Council came in. He was a tall man, 6 feet and then some, and built with the solidity of an aging soldier. His lank hair had more gray in it than I remembered and was drawn back into a ponytail.